This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
Sarah, you were involved in the Butch on Butch photo project, and that was fantastic. I was really thrilled when you came forward about that. Can you give us an idea about why you wanted to be involved in the project?
Yeah, it's kind of tricky. I guess ultimately what it boiled down to was the fact that it was you that was doing it. It was someone other I felt I could trust, someone that I knew had an understanding of being Butch and what that means. And so that kind of just really made me feel comfortable and made me volunteer and want to do it, really.
Oh, thanks. It's not actually the answer I was expecting, but I'll take that. The photo that we ended up taking was based on your idea, and we went into some bush around Wellington and set up quite a stylized photo. Would you like to take us through that? Because it was really your idea about how you wanted to be seen and really you controlled that shoot. So can you just take us through what you're wanting to do with that photo?
My Celtic heritage is quite important to me. It's a strong part of how I identify. So wearing my kilt was quite important to me, I guess.
Tell us about your kilt.
It's my family tartan. It's just something I'm really proud to wear, really. Yeah.
Do you get much chance to wear it?
No. I reserve it just for special occasions. So that's the first time I've worn it, I think, since my graduation in 2002.
And you're wearing some other kits that looks fairly Celtic too. Tell us about that.
I guess you're referring to the sporran.
I thought it was a merkin, but there you go.
I'm sure it's been referred to one of those before. Just a sporran, referred to often as a man's purse. I don't know really what more to say about those.
That's quite a decision for you anyway to be making, to wear a man's purse as such. So that's part of the image you were wanting to portray with this?
I think so. There's a whole lot of regalia that can go with wearing a kilt. There's proper socks and garters and a skean-do, which is a knife, and then the upper clothing is quite specific as well. But I don't possess a lot of those for a start, but I think the sporran for me is, I don't know what it is. It represents something, I guess, but I just think particularly for that shoot, but just generally when I do wear it, I always make sure that I've got a sporran on. Yeah.
Cool. And I'm looking at the photo now and I can see quite a collection, of necklaces. Can you talk to those?
Yeah. My Labrys bone carving, which was made for me by a friend of mine for my 25th birthday. So I wear three things and I wear them all the time. I've got the a Celtic knot, that pendant that my mum bought me for my 40th birthday. So that represents my Celtic heritage along with the kilt, but obviously the necklace is there all the time. I've got the Labrys, which represents my identity as a lesbian. And then I've got a greenstone adze, which was gifted to me. And that's just represents my New Zealand side of my family and my new being as being someone who came to live in New Zealand from somewhere else. Yeah.
Where did you come from? Tell us a bit about your background.
I'm from the UK originally. I was born in London. My mum married an Englishman, and I was born 9 months after the honeymoon. I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's not something I mean, it's something that I'm aware of, obviously, but it's not something that I don't think, for me, plays a big part of who I am. I mean, maybe other people see me in that sense. I don't really know, but I've got Scottish heritage and I've got born in England, obviously came here when I was 17 with my mum, and New Zealand has become my home. My mum and sister went back to the UK for a number of years. My sister still lives there. My mum returned about 3 years ago, but I've always stayed here. New Zealand's home. I love being in New Zealand. I love being here and I love the life that I've developed for myself as a result of being here.
When you first came to New Zealand, where did you come to live?
Auckland, and I hated it. I'd been here a couple of times before, once after my dad died, and then again when my grandfather was dying. And to me, it was a small, that was like a late 70s and early 80s were the times I came. It was just a small little backward, out-of-the-way country, and I hated it. So when Mum said, we're moving here, it was like, no! I tried everything I could. She said, well, if you can find a job, you can stay here. But I couldn't find a job, so I had to come with her. But as time's gone on and the country's changed and I've changed, I wouldn't have it any other way. I would never go back to live. Yeah, I think New Zealand's the best place to live, and I love being in Wellington particularly.
Why did you move to Wellington?
To be honest, I moved to Wellington for study. I wanted to be studying at heart of politics, what I thought was the heart of politics, capital city, where seat of government is, and I thought it would be more politically active and I could get more engaged with that kind of stuff. I also came here with the original plan of doing the master's in creative writing at Vic, but that's a really hard course to get into, so I wasn't accepted, but did other things instead. But yeah, that's pretty much what brought me here, but I've been here 10 years now and couldn't live anywhere else. I love it.
So what is it about Wellington and the political scene here and who you have connections with here that that kind of keeps you going?
Wellington just feels like home. It just feels like the right place to be. And there's always something going on if you look for it. I mean, like today I went on the TPPA march. That's my politics is really important to me. It's part of who I am. And so there's always something to engage in if you want to. Or if you can't find anything to engage with, it's really quite easy to find other people, like-minded people, and create something yourself. So being politically connected and being connected to the community are really important things to me.
So on the political spectrum, what's gets you?
Workers' rights gets me. Human rights get me. Anything to do with people being oppressed and fighting for the underdog, that's what gets me, yeah. That's what, you know, challenging the capitalist corporate norm, that kind of stuff is important, and everybody having a right to live their life that they want to, yeah.
And so are you involved in groups in Wellington that help you do that?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't been as active with the TPPS stuff as I'd probably would like to be, but I'm doing things about that. But yeah, Wellington Gay Welfare Group is probably the one that springs to mind the most. We've been doing a lot of stuff, especially over the last sort of 2 or 3 years, in funding different groups and helping people out with making a change to Wellington community, and that's really cool to be able to do that. Queer Avengers are on a bit of a hiatus at the moment. I was heavily involved in that. That was a really important organisation at the time. We did a lot of activism around transphobia and bullying in schools. Yeah, that kind of stuff is important. And so, yeah.
So the involvement in collective action has been something that's driven you for a while. Do you see anything in yourself in terms of how you are as with a butch identity being expressed at all through this, or having a foundation in this at all?
That's a difficult one to answer because, I mean, I identify as butch, and that's why I was in this, obviously, but it's just part and parcel of who I am. So I am butch, I represent as butch, I am butch, therefore I am, kind of thing. And it probably does have a part of the political action that I take, but I guess I don't do it because of the butch identity. It's just there because that's just who I am. Yeah.
Would you like to read what you wrote for the narrative that went with your photo?
Sure. It's difficult to explain what it means for me being butch. It is just how I am, kind of like trying to explain what it's like to be human. I cannot imagine being anything else. I've been mistaken for the male of the species many times, as far back as I can remember. I still am. During my teens and 20s, it used to bother me. But as I have gotten older, I have learnt to have fun with it. It's fascinating to see how the straight world reacts to me. So, yeah, hard to put into words what being butch means to me. I just am.
this bit about the straight world reacting to you, can you give some examples of how you've experienced that?
I remember actually one time, one of the first visits, conscious visits I have of coming to New Zealand, I was 12. My father had just died, so Mum brought us back here to be with her family for a while. And I remember being in a department store in Tauranga and had gone in to use the bathrooms. And, you know, as a lot of us experience, this is the girls' room. What are you doing in here? And being a shy 12-year-old who just lost her father, I didn't have a kind of response that I would have today. But just, yeah, a lot of stuff like that. I remember when I was a bit older, I was about 17 or 18, I think, I was in a pub with just a couple of other friends and some guy coming up to me and said, "Oh, my friend really likes you. She thinks you're a really cute guy." I was like, "Yeah, no, sorry." So he scurried off all embarrassed. But just, yeah, that kind of stuff. And, you know, the sir or the mate, all that kind of typical stuff that a lot of us experience. Yeah, as I say, it used to bother me, but now it's just like, you know, get over it. It's 21st century, for goodness sake. Stop trying to put your ideals on what someone should represent, what society thinks someone should look like on everybody, because it's rubbish.
Do you find yourself saying that to people or just let it roll off?
No, these days I challenge it. I remember the first time I ever challenged it, actually, I was doing a unemployment training scheme thing up in Auckland at can't remember the name of the college now. Anyway, and I used to ride a motorbike, and I had quite a big bike. And I pulled into the car park one morning, and this other guy was getting off his bike at the same time. He said, "Oh, that's a big bike for a girl." Yeah. So I just turned and said, "Fuck off, dickhead. It's not." Yeah, just something along those lines. I was angry, because at that point I was an angry wee person. So I just ripped into him and told him that he needs to grow up, and why can't a woman ride a big bike? What the fuck's it got to do with anything? You know, I can ride it. I can handle it. So what? Doesn't matter whether I'm a man or a woman, or don't identify as anything. I can ride the bike. That's all that matters. Yeah. So yeah, I tend to probably not quite so aggressive these days, not quite so angry about it, but I don't let people get away with it. If people say something to me, I will challenge them on it. And maybe, you know, something like, "Well, just because I don't fit what you consider to be the standards, not my problem, your problem."
Do you, are you around other butch people much these days, actively around people?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, they're just my friends who are there, and some of them identify as butch, and, yeah, some of them don't. And I don't purposely go out of my way to seek other butch people. They're just in the circles that I associate with, they're there as well. Yeah.
I thought it was quite interesting in the project that there were about 20 people involved, and there was such a range of people, from those who just saw themselves as labelled as butch but not necessarily identifying mm-hmm. that, to others who were quite happy really to have that as an identity.
Mm. Yeah. I guess it's part and parcel of what's come along with the development and the changes and the growth and the more acceptance of queer people, and that people now are more comfortable to say, yeah, I identify as butch, or other people see me as butch, but I don't take that label myself. I don't know if it's just a Wellington thing or just a New Zealand thing or what, but there is, I think there's a lot, I mean, for some people, I guess other people still struggle, but there is, for me, it seems there's more of a acceptance of people being able to identify how they want to, rather than the binary, because the binary sucks too, which butch and femme is the dynamic is part of that, but it's a different aspect of it. It's not the same as the straight dynamic. It's quite different. So yeah, I just think there just seems to be a lot more acceptance and a lot more understanding, and people just can be who they need to be, which is, I think, is cool.
Do you have the butch femme dynamic in your life?
Yes.
How does that show itself?
Well, clearly I'm very butch and my girlfriend is very femme. And it's actually, to be honest with you, it's quite a new thing for me. I've had girlfriends in the past who have not identified as femme. So it's been a learning curve, to say the least. But it's cool. I really like it. And it's made me more proud of being who I am, too. It's made me – having someone who appreciates me for my butchness is a really nice thing to experience.
There's some critique that you hear sometimes around around butch and femme and that dynamic, and around butch perhaps taking up space and those sorts of things. Have you ever been involved in those sorts of discussions?
I haven't personally, but I know that it is challenging. But I think it's part of the whole spectrum, I suppose, and it's about allowing everybody to identify how they want to and express themselves how they want to. But but at the same time, making sure everyone has space to do that. I know I've heard of horror stories from the 70s with butch women taking over feminist spaces and being quite oppressive. And I like to think that doesn't happen quite as much, or at least as overtly as it might have done once. I could be naive about that. I like to make sure. I don't see it as a part of my butchness. I just think it's fair, just for me personally, that everybody's given a right to have a space and to have their say when they need to. Yeah.
The groups that you say that you say you've been involved in, Gay Welfare Wellington.
Wellington
Gay Welfare Group, sorry about that. And the support that they're giving groups around town. Can you speak a little bit more to that?
It started out as a helpline back in the early 80s, but that need seems to have drifted away over the last few years. So that side of things has really got a lot more quiet. So now we focus more on funding where we can. We still run the Peter Cuthbert Trust, which is specifically for financial assistance for men with HIV. But so we've got a legacy to do with that. But yeah, we haven't done much in the way of fundraising of late, but we try to distribute any money. So, you know, if people approach us, people from the community can approach us and say, hey, we need money for this. This is what we're going to do with it. This is how much we need. Is it something that you guys think you could help out with? And most of the time we do. So, yeah, we're kind of shifting gear a little bit, becoming more of a funding operation, and going to see how that works out and what we can do around that. And I think so that's probably going to be more of our focus.
I know that you've been involved in helping, say, Schools Out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yep, Schools Out is a group that Wellington Gay Welfare has supported right from the beginning. It's a group for youth by youth. They're branching out a little bit more on their own these days, so they just rely more on us for the charity status and the funding side of things, so which is really cool because they've managed to take off and be their own entity, which is amazing. So, yeah, we just help out with that where we can when they need us to. I guess you could probably say Gay Welfare Group is more of an umbrella organisation now, and they're definitely probably our biggest group under that umbrella. So it's been really nice to see them develop over the years and become their own thing and focus on what, you know, the needs of youth. We've also been in a position where we've been able to help out with funding for paid positions. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get ourselves into a position where we can continue to pay someone an employed role in that organisation. It would be good if we can get round to that so that it can be a continual thing rather than just short-term temporary employment. But, yeah, it's been good to be able to do that when we can.
Any thoughts generally around how the community in Wellington or the communities in Wellington do act to support each other, or what they could do more?
It's kind of a curly one, that, because I guess ultimately we're not really communities as such. We come together when there's a need, which is really good, because that would be even make the situation even worse if we couldn't even do that. But we do. We seem, whenever something comes up, whether it's a need for funding or whether it's a need for activism or support or something, we all seem to rally around and come together and help out when the cry is put out. In an ideal world, it'd be great that we didn't have to do any of this, where we could just be and just exist, and there'd be plenty of funding for anybody that needed it. You know, like in Australia, they get millions of dollars from government for supporting stuff. I mean, if we had access to that, it would be brilliant. So yeah, in an ideal world, fantastic. But unfortunately, that's not the situation, and we do what we can when we need to, and I think that's actually quite nice, really. Yeah.
Now, about your studies. Tell us a bit about that.
Crikey. Well, it took longer than it was meant to. I just completed a master's degree in gender and women's studies, the last person Victoria University to graduate from the gender and women's studies department with a master's degree, so that's kind of cool. Wow. And I did an examination of the experiences of, well, the official title is an investigation to the homophobic, heterosexist culture of tertiary accommodation. So, in a nutshell, I was looking at how heterosexist student hostels are, because I'd worked in them for about 4 years, and not only experienced homophobia myself, but witnessed other people, younger people, experiencing it. So I thought, well, there's some studies done overseas. We needed one here in New Zealand, so I did it. There was a gap in the literature, so that's what I did.
You've just finished that. How long were you working on it?
It took me 4 years in the end. Yeah.
And what were your findings?
Basically that, there is homophobia and heterosexism experienced in hostels. Generally, the situation is that it's not intentional. It's just that the people who run the hostels don't take a minute to just sit back and see how they can be more open and more accepting to people who don't identify as straight. So, yeah. And so one of the recommendations I've made is that they need to have more diversity training within the hostels, so that people, the big assumption is everybody that walks through the door is straight. That's that. And so that's how they do everything. Everything they organize, everything they plan, is all around the fact that they just assume everybody's straight. So I just wanted to try and point out that actually that's a bit of a sucky assumption to make.
Who's been able to access your research, or who's been interested in it?
Nobody at the moment, because I haven't actually handed in the final version to the library. But once I do that, there'll be a copy online and one in the libraries, in the Victoria Library. So anybody will be able to get hold of it. I've had one person already ask me when it'll be ready so they can use it for some research that they're producing themselves up in Hamilton, a good friend of mine, so that's cool. I'm hoping to publish it in some, there's a couple of magazines that go around for student hostels, so it'd be nice to get some stuff in there. So, yeah, be available to anybody who wants to have a look.
Were you talking to residents and to the, what are they called,
the residential assistants
and others, or who was involved in it?
No, I didn't talk to any of the official staff. I did it through an online questionnaire with the students. Yeah. That was challenging in itself. I had to do it twice, because the first time I publicised it, didn't get much of a take-up. But, I managed to get quite a few people in the end. So it was just asking anybody that in the hall who wanted to take part in it. You didn't have to identify it as queer in any way, because I wanted to get a broad response so that I could show from their responses that this is the way these people think, and this is why this kind of stuff is challenging if you don't identify as heterosexual. So, yeah.
And were you looking at universities across, or the residential halls across New Zealand, or was it mostly Wellington? Or
initially, it was going to be across New Zealand, but due to health reasons, I had to reduce that. So yeah, it ended up just being Victoria, actually, in the end. Yeah.
Right. So they'll be interested in your findings when it comes out.
I hope they bloody will be. They should be, but yeah, I hope so. I mean, that's what it's about, I guess, isn't it? Is having someone who's someone who identifies as queer doing queer research so that people who don't have an understanding of what that means can take a look at it and think, oh, yeah, we can implement that in our place because that's easy, that's straightforward. There's no reason why we can't do that. Hopefully that'll happen.
What sort of work are you involved in?
I'm a research assistant with Otago Medical School here in Wellington, and we look at housing. So we look at safety aspects of housing, who gets to live in a house, how easy that is to do. One of the big things that we're looking at the moment is social housing and what the government's doing to basically destroy that. So we're trying to point out why it's important to have social housing and why it's needed and why the state needs to hang on to it. Yeah. But I'm also hoping to do my own bit of research later in the year, specifically related to homeless issues for LGBTI people. So that'd be really cool if I can pull that off.
Great. And what's your interest there? What sparked that?
Again, that's probably my involvement with Wellington Gay Welfare Group. We've had a number of cases over the last sort of 3 to 4 years of young people being thrown out of home because they identify as trans or queer and the parents can't handle it, so they kick them out and they've got nowhere to go. They've got no one to turn to, nothing. So we've helped out where we can. And so, yeah, that's pretty much piqued my interest. And again, there's a bit of stuff going on overseas, so we need to do it here. I've learnt in the work that I've been doing for the last 3 years that New Zealand tends to copy everywhere else 10 years later. So my argument is, well, why wait 10 years? We need it now. Let's do something about it now. So I'm hoping to better do some research and explain why it's necessary and why it's important to have emergency housing at the very least. Yeah.
In your experience of how the community rallies around, have you seen them rally around those sorts of situations where someone, a young person, is homeless and needing help?
Yeah, for sure. We've got quite a few contacts within WG where people are willing to offer a sofa at the very least, if not a spare room, and take people in for a short term or a long term. Yeah, which is really nice. It's good to better know that we've got people out there that we can rely on when needed. Yeah.
What sort of advice would you give to a young person that's coming into the queer communities in Wellington?
Crikey, you're nothing like the big questions, eh, Jack? I don't know. Be yourself. Get support around you, people who will accept you for who you are and don't want to try and change you. There's people out there who will hug you when you need a hug. They exist. And I suppose don't be afraid to ask for that help when you need it. It can be daunting coming to terms with who you are and to fess that up to somebody else, especially if you don't know them. That makes that feeling 10 times worse. But we've all been there. We've all done it. I find that people in Wellington want to help when they can. They want to support people if they can. You just have to ask for it.